Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing what the departure from the main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, or CCC, of founding President Nelson Chamisa and the subsequent fight for control of the party means to Zimbabweans in the diaspora. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. Last year, Somali farmers faced the dual threats of drought and flooding. Jamal Ahmed Osman spoke with farmers who shared their experiences of how extreme climate conditions are taking a toll. This in this report narrated by VOA's Arash Arabadaz.
Here, in Kalundi village in the Middle Shabelle region, about 90 kilometers north of Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, farmer Ismail Hassan is among many who say they felt the impact of climate change.
You may not break even due to weather changes. When ready to cultivate, you might lack water for the seeds due to drought. Or excess water can break riverbanks during rain seasons, posing a challenge.
Another farmer, Mude Osman, now displaced in Jowar district, says too much and too little water have forced him to leave his farm twice.
Our harvest is affected by climate change, facing floods and droughts each year. When water submerges, we must relocate. The same occurs during the drought season.
Jowar District farmer Jamalo Ahmed Safar also says the drought has impacted farming in this area.
For the past 4 years, we've endured persistent droughts, and each time we saw our crops, the river runs dry.
Heavy rains and floods affected more than 1.2 million people late last year, according to the United Nations, following years of drought that caused near-famine conditions. Activists like Abdul Qadir Abanur say climate extremes are causing food scarcity in the country.
In Somalia, we need real change and action to address climate change issues, which affected the whole country, especially for the farmers and for all other sectors.
Farmers and climate activists like Abanur worry about long-term decreases in food production and the impacts on the country as climate extremes become more common. For Jamal Osman in Mogadishu, Somalia, Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Former Zengeza West Member of Parliament and veteran opposition politician Job Scala was freed from Chikurubi maximum remand after he was freed last night after Harare magistrate gave him and his co-accused Chitungwiza North lawmaker Godfrey Stole a wholly suspended 2-year prison sentence. Scala spent 19 months in remand prison. He speaks with Studio 7 from the comfort of his Chitungwiza home.
The truth of the matter is that I have never saw or known a person called Senezo Chamango. If we meet in the streets today, we can press each other. He might know me, but myself, I don't know him. All my life long, what I only later heard from other colleagues is that he joined the MGCT in 2005 after the split in the MGC party at that material time and became the MGCT provincial chairman from Matabele North. So those people who know him are those people who have been working with him in the MGCT party. But myself, I've never ever met him. I never talked to him. I don't know him. And I don't know even his own intentions. So he is the person whom I don't know. I would be interested to see him. I was also told that during my court proceedings, his lawyers came and tried to talk to me as if they were part of the crowd that have come to give me solidarity. Only for me to be told by My other colleagues in the legal profession, that did you know those people who have greeted you? They are so and so and so from Chabamku scheme. I was shocked myself. But however, solidarity, you must expect it from anyone. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Chabamku, I don't know him. He's speaking. And you can phone him to ask him whether he has met me anywhere and describe how I look like. That would be the best way. Despite having seen my pictures on the news or in the internet, I don't know the guy.
Vasikala vatorawo mukana wekutenda sangano reshamwari dzavo dzairwira kuti vaburitswe muhusungwa re Free Job Scholar Solidarity Movement iro vati rakasara richimira nemhuri yavo nguva yose yavanga vari mujeri vakamirira kutongwa.
Job Scholar Solidarity Movement nebasa kura vakaita vamasaraure netimu yavo vaobed masaraure netimu yavo vakaita basa rinoshamisa munyika sezvo muchiziva kuti ndanga ndarashwa navanhu vese vandanga ndichitarisira kwavari kuti kunga varubatsiro pavakatanga kutora basa iri resolidarity movement vakaita zvishamiso vanhu vese nepasino rose vakatanga kusumuka muwandu hwavo kuya kuzoparutsigiro saka ndinovatenda vakomana nevasikana veJob Scholar Solidarity Movement nebasa ravakaita hatisi kuzoparadza the Job Scholar Solidarity Movement nokuti handizivi kuti mivengo wangu ari kundirongera zvipi saka ndezvokuti haungati mauto chitsvetai zvombo pasi nokuti hondo yapera aiwa bodo hatizivi kuti murongo ari kuronge zvipi saka tiri kutoramba tichitosimbisa Job Scholar Solidarity Movement iyoyi kuti irambe iripo ichisimba ichigwinya tichigadzira ramangwana.
And now back to our topic. Zimbabweans at home and abroad were shocked to learn that Citizens Coalition for Change President Nelson Chamisa quit the outfit he founded in 2022, claiming that the opposition was hijacked by ZANU-PF. Some Zimbabweans in the diaspora went home to vote in 2018, hoping that the new outfit was going to bring the much-needed change in the country. With his departure and the fight for control rocking the opposition, where does this leave Zimbabweans in the diaspora, and what are those in the diaspora doing to bring sanity in the politics bedeviling Zimbabwe? Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss this issue of Chamisa's resignation from CCC and the fight to control the opposition party, we are joined by political analyst Dr. Chipode Ndere, who is in South Africa, Professor Elliot Masocha, who is in Ohio, USA, and Mr. Tawanda Dzokora, who is in North Dakota, also in the USA. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Muriya Zimbabwe Yakatere.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Mr. Dzokora. The departure of Mr. Chamisa from CCC seems to have thrown the opposition party into disarray. Do you think this will also affect Zimbabweans in the diaspora?
It definitely will, because as Zimbabweans in the diaspora, we aspire to be home, to be with our relatives. We want to attend funerals. with our friends and family. We want to celebrate with friends and family in Zimbabwe. So we were hoping that 2023 was going to bring the much needed change, but unfortunately it did not. In any case, the struggle continues, the luta continua. We sincerely believe that change is nearby, change is going to come. But I just want to correct you a little bit when you said now that President Kamisa has left, that there is now chaos within the CCC or within the opposition. The chaos did not come when President Kamisa left, and the chaos did also not come because President Kamisa left. The chaos that we are seeing in Zimbabwe right now came when ZANU-PF decided to invest $6 million in destroying the opposition in Zimbabwe. The chaos that we are seeing today came when a whole political party decided not to focus on issues, on key issues of people, on issues that are affecting Zimbabwean people, like cholera, like the hospital, the state of our hospitals, the state of our roads. That government decided to invest money and manpower in making sure that there was no opposing voice in Zimbabwe. That was when the opposition began to be in disarray. And it's very unfortunate, because in other countries, you see ruling parties actually making sure that there is opposition. They share ideas with opposition, and that they meet occasionally and exchange ideas.
Thank
but
you.
In Zimbabwe, it's a completely different story. Mr. Mnangagwa and ZANU-PF are hell-bent on making sure that there is no democracy and there is no opposing voice in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jokora. Actually, what we meant by the disarray was that there are now factions claiming to control the outfit, the CCC party. But we'll come back to that. It's a discussion point also. Let me go to Dr. Dendere. What are Zimbabweans in the diaspora doing to shape politics in Zimbabwe? Looking at what is happening from both the ruling party and the opposition parties in the country.
So the Zimbabwean diaspora has been involved in politics for a long time. I think the majority of their support comes in the conversations that they have with family back home. Over the years, we've seen a decline in the diaspora that can go back home and vote, but people are constantly having conversations with their families to influence their support one way or the other. In most cases, it's to influence their support for the opposition. Many in the diaspora believe that if the opposition were to win, things would become better. The burden of remittances would become less, right? If more people are earning good salaries, if more people can afford to pay for their own hospital bills, to pay for school fees, then it means that the diaspora, which is already being taxed abroad, doesn't have to take, you know, from the little that they have and send back home to sustain the economy. The other thing that the diaspora has been doing is providing financial support. And before, you know, ZANU-PF will be quick to say they don't get financial support, this is not true. ZANU-PF structures in the diaspora have been very active in collecting money and sending money back home. We saw the same thing during the 2023 elections, where the diaspora was adopting various constituencies through citizen initiatives, which I peg as support that was going directly to the opposition. So the financial support, the conversations with family, and of course there's the diaspora like myself who have consistently returned home to go back and vote.
Mm-hmm. I'll come back to you. Thank you so much. Let me go to Professor Masocha. Professor Masocha, what are Zimbabweans in the diaspora doing to bring sanity to politics in Zimbabwe that some say have become toxic?
Well, you know, when I look at people in the diaspora, I try to look at the leadership itself, you know, whether they are doing anything to tell people the truth. And I also look at the leadership of opposition parties in Zimbabwe, and what, you know, people in the diaspora must learn from that. That, you know, according to my own view and analysis and belief, is that we don't have genuine leadership in the opposition. And by that, I look at, you know, what have they learned from their previous failures? What have they learned from their previous split? And nobody can tell me that he sees sense or strength in splitting from the main MDC to multiple MDCs to CCC and now another split again. And every time that happens, you know, we will hear that we are going to beat ZANU-PF. Elections have been rigged. SADC, EU, United Nations, ETC will do that. And all that has never come to be true. And then we get in another elections again. So people in the diaspora must learn and scrutinize their leadership, whether they are telling the truth or not. Besides just blaming ZANU-PF, which is, to me, is 100% student politics that I experienced at UZ. They never blame themselves. The question is, Mr. Dokora, when you blame ZANU-PF, it may be okay, but my question is, what are you going to do about it besides just blaming and blaming and blaming without doing anything? You blame people you cannot change. We only succeed when we begin to blame ourselves, that we don't have a strategy. We don't have the structures that allow people like Mr. Chabangu to just come out and succeed and chase the leader. The leader chases himself. Where on earth have you ever seen a leader who forms a party abandoning that party and then try to form another one? Which politics is that? I've never seen anything like that. Somebody who jumps from MGC or kicked from MGC, yeah, now from CCC, now is out again, and we still believe in that type of leadership. People in the diaspora, wake up and read constitutions of your political parties, constitutions of your country, and see how things are done. You know, whom are you supposed to follow and why? We need to look into ourselves in the diaspora to see whether we know whom we are following or not. Liberation struggle movements or political parties are not easy to take power from.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Professor Masocha. I know Mr. Dzokora is itching to respond to what you just said. Mr. Dzokora.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate what Dr. Masocha is trying to say, but he is saying the very same things that he is accusing us of. He is blaming us. He's talking about the blame game. But, you know, while he's pointing a finger at us, four fingers are pointing right back at him because he's doing the same thing that he is accusing us of. He's blaming the opposition.
I'm not in the opposition. I'm not in the opposition.
Which is tantamount to blaming the victim, you know, in Zimbabwe. The opposition leadership, the opposition members have been at the receiving end of a very ruthless regime. Ever since we started this struggle, Zimbabwe has lost 3,000 innocent, more than 3,000 innocent lives, you know, on the hands of ZANU-PF. And the biggest mistake that we make as Zimbabweans is that we try to compare what is happening in Zambia, in South Africa, and other countries.
Yeah.
But we forget that Zimbabwe is completely different. In Zimbabwe, we do not have a civilian government. In Zimbabwe, we do not have a democratic government. We have a government that is in power because it took over power by a coup. It's a military government. It's civilian government. And civilian government, the queue. The environment
there,
that we are operating in is very different from other environments. Let me just say this very important point. You know, if we were going to take President Obama or Nelson Chamisa's namesake, Nelson Mandela, and we put him in the Zimbabwean hostile political environment, they would still be where we are today. Because of the people that we are working with, because of the government that we have, they do not want any opposing voice. They are going, they want a one-party state in Zimbabwe, and they are doing everything at their disposal, using the state institutions to ensure that there is no opposing voice in Zimbabwe.
So people have my question to you, Mr. Dzokora, was, so does this mean that nothing is going to change in Zimbabwe because ZANU-PF is going to maintain that grip?
Exactly.
No. Every everything is going to change because the people of Zimbabwe are determined. The people of Zimbabwe know exactly what is happening. Even if you go to
Uzumbabwe, they know the problem is
not
determined. Hello?
Right. Murutora na Prince Moyo ariku South Africa Polokwane.
Taura yanyu mukoma Prince Moyo.
Ya, so zvakaita ndezvekuti hongu vachamisa vakaita mafungira vakanga vaita. Asi mukufunga ikoko chinoitika ndechekuti izvezvi zvitese way forward pati takamira takastika ende takatarisa kwavari futi kuti way forward yavo ndeipi. But so far satanzwa information yakazara kuti way forward yavo ndeye kudi. Chatungozeya ndechekuti pavari vakaita step down, in the step down yavo tiita kutora like kupererwa uri vane zvavafunga, saka pasina kuti tanganzwa chakajeka chavafunga ish tinenge tiri panguva yakaoma yekuti hatikuzoti tikuendepi tichibvepi.
Thank you so much mukoma Prince Moyo, maita basa. Andi mukoma Prince Moyo ari kuPolokwane ku South Africa. Let me go back to Mr. Dzokora, 30 seconds and you finish what you wanted to say and then we go to Dr. Dendere.
Yeah, and just even to respond to my brother there, you know, what President Chamisa did was necessary. That nuclear approach was very necessary, you know, considering the situation that was prevailing in Triple C. Sometimes it's good to take a step back so that you can spring forward. He says very clearly that he is still making sure that there will be freedom and democracy in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much.
And the people should just await the next steps.
Thank you.
The next steps are coming.
Thank you, Mr. Dzokora. Let me go to Dr. Dendere. Dr. Dendere, you heard what Professor Masocha said and what Mr. Dzokora said and also our first caller, what he said. What's your take on this?
You know, this is an issue with moving parts, but while we've been here discussing, it's become very clear, at least based on the social media handles of Honorable Wenze, Professor Welsh Mengule, who've now updated their profiles to indicate that one is Secretary General of Triple C, one is Vice President. We heard Mr. Mitte earlier today saying he's Vice President, and that in the statement from Welsh Mengule that they accept the resignation of Nelson Chamisa. On one hand, it's true that ZANU-PF continues to mess with the opposition. But on the other hand, what all of this shows is that, you know, the power struggles, the interest in a particular cohort of leaders to retain whatever positions, whatever power they had under MDC might have been the driving force, right? The recalls were unnecessary. It's hard to imagine that Chabangu would have worked without the blessing of Welsh Mengule, at least without Wenze being in the know with no engagement from these people. So a lot of what we will see in the coming days is that the struggle we've seen since August is internally orchestrated. And what ZANU-PF then did was to capitalize on whatever weakness already existed. But this faction, right, this desire to oust Nelson Chamisa, and again, you know, Nelson is not without blame. As a leader, he should have controlled things. He should have allowed for voices of dissent. He should have allowed for some formation of structures. But at the same time, I really do think that we've got a generation of senior leadership that we're not willing to allow new voices to come in and to participate.
Thank you.
So over the next few weeks, over the next month, we're really going to see a fallout from there. But this does not mean that, and I think I should take an extra minute as the gentleman
a lot of Dr. Dendere, let
but
me
this does not
there.
Mean...
We have our second caller. We have a call. Oh. Hello, Nkoma Trust. I think we have lost Nkoma Trust. Continue, Dr. Dendere.
I was going to say, this does not mean that the opposition is destroyed. in countries like Zimbabwe, it's not unique to Zimbabwe. In countries where there is military control, where the authoritarian regime is very strong, the opposition is constantly having to redefine itself, rebuild itself, because they even the level, the playing field is not even. It's not level.
Thank
so these challenges that we're seeing with MDC, with CCC, are not unique. But it doesn't absolve them of the responsibility of being organized people. It doesn't, especially because we've seen the death of someone because of the recall. And if indeed the leadership, watchmen, when they're meeting, had anything to do with the recall, then they must be put to task by the citizens, because someone died. Right, we cannot ignore that someone died
so much
due to these recalls.
Yes, thank you so much. I'll come back to you, but because of time, let me go to Professor Masocha. Professor Masocha, tinoona kuti muZimbabwe vanopikisa mune mapato akawanda anoda kusvika kana kumakumi mashanu ari kupikisa bato reZANU PF. Chii chiri kuita kuti mapato ose aya akundikane kubuda nechirongwa kana urongwa hunoita kuti akwanise kunzvenga zvese zvatanzwa zvinoitwa neZANU PF zvekuti inopinda mune zvematongerwo enyika mune mapato anopikisa nezvimwe zvakadaro. Chii chiri kuita kuti nenjere dzinonzi dzine vana veZimbabwe vari munyika nevari kunze kwenyika vatadze kubata ZANU PF painenge iri?
Chinoitika apa ndechokuti icho vanhu vemuZimbabwe kana even uno kudiaspora chaiko hatina kubatana sezvakaitawo kune dzimwe nyika. Kuda takadzidziswa muzvikoro zvana individualism zvese, saka zvinovonekera nomupolitics. Apa tinenge takanangana neparty yeZANU PF yakabatana kubva nguva dzehondo kusvika ndari zvino, zvekare ine experience yokupinda muparty dzinenge dzichiformaidza kana infiltration iyei. Isusu vomuZimbabwe patinozoforma zvimaparty zvedu hatinatsi kuzviongorora kuti watinoforma naye party ndiani, watinozopa mamwe masimba ndiani, zvekare tine weakness hombe yokusazvishora. Ndosaka ndichiteerera zvazvitaurwa nana Dr. South Africa, vataura zvinhu zvinomusoro kuti hazvirevi kuti Nosochamisa haina blame, hazvirevi kuti opposition haina blame, hazvirevi kuti ZANU PF chete ndiye inongoshoreka. Kana tichida kuchinja nokusimba mupolitical party, ngatitange tazvishora isu pachedu. Chii chatiri kuita vadzokora? ZANU PF zvairi kuita izvozvo,
chinzwe vadzokora nokuti nguva dzamhanya. To you, Mr. Dzokora, we heard that Zimbabweans lack unity amongst themselves. What do you have to say about that?
But let me first of all just buttress what Dr. Dendere said, which I totally agree with, that she doubts whether there was no hand of either Honorable BT or Professor Welsh Mengwe behind Shabangu. But it is also important to note that there was a bigger hand, a much bigger hand in ZANU PF, because we saw a whole parliament, a whole court system of Zimbabwe in its wisdom, agreeing with one person, one individual who came and masqueraded as the Secretary General of the CCC. How was he allowed to do that when they could have just picked up the phone and asked President Chamisa, do you know this person? That is what should have happened in a normal situation, in a normal country. Turning to the issue of unity, I do not even want to blame Zimbabweans. Zimbabweans have done their best, especially Zimbabweans in the diaspora. They did everything that they could in 2023.
Thank you so
raised
much.
Money, came together, raised issues, but unfortunately we are just dealing with a very difficult animal in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. Time is
not
on our side.
Yes, it's not in the Constitution, Mr. Dzokora, to call Mr. Chamisa. Let's look at it. Look into
thank
the Constitution
so
of the country. Look into the Constitution of the political party.
Thank you, Professor Masocha. Our time, we don't have time. We are working on having extra time in this discussion, because when it's our time up, that's when it starts heating up. That brings us to the end of our show, and we'd like to thank our guest today, Dr. Chipo Dendere, who was in South Africa, Professor Edward Masocha from Ohio here in the United States of America, and Mr. Tawanda Dzokora, who is in North Dakota also here in the United States of America. I'm Jonga Kandemiri, signing off in Washington, D.C.